When I first thought that God might be calling me into ordained ministry, I went through selection process, as one does, and was recommended for training on the basis that I had 2 years in the real world first. That was in 1976. In 2005, I went to theological college. Things might not always work out as we have got them planned, but God is still working his purposes out in our lives. I wonder how often you've made plans for something, confident that this was the right thing, this was going to work, I can see why I need to do that, only to find out that God has got other plans for you. God is fitting his jigsaw together of your life, and so often we just focused on a tiny bit of it and we can't see the big picture. But God can see the big picture of your life and his purposes for you. In our series, which has been running in the background now for 4 or 5 months, Made in His Image, we're spending a whole year tracing through the whole of the Bible, seeking out what it means for us to be made in the image of God. What does Scripture have to say about us being made in God's image? We started off in the early chapters of Genesis, looking at how from the very beginning, God created humankind in his own image. But then we saw how that image was marred by our sin, our rebellion against God. And then we spent 6 weeks over the summer period catching glimpses of the character of God through different human images which are applied to him. So common images, a ruler, a warrior, shepherd, farmer, father, potter. And each time we were asking, well, if that's what God's like, what does it mean for us to be made in that image, to be like him? And in the past few weeks, we've started our Paraclesis series, seeing how we are all called to come alongside and care for others, just like Jesus did, just like the Holy Spirit does, reflecting their image through us. And we'll continue that series around about the middle of October. We pick it up again. But today, we're beginning another kind of sub-series within this whole big picture of Scripture. We're beginning a series that will take us right the way through to Advent with a few breaks. Second part of Paraclesis, Remembrance comes. We'll have our Remembering Loved Ones service as well. But we're going to be, over the next couple of months, tracing the key points in the history of the people of Israel, a nation that was called out to bear God's image in the world before a world that doesn't know him. So we left the story of Israel a couple of months back in chapter 12 of Genesis, when God called Abraham to be a blessing and to be blessed. And today we pick up the story by looking at his great grandchildren, the children of Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's 11 brothers. This is Joseph of Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. What do you do when you feel peckish? Eat? What kind of things? What do you like to eat? Snacks? Matthew? Not quite the answer I was expecting, but anyway, yeah. What do you do when you're really hungry, as opposed to just a little peckish? Have a meal. And what about if you come to prepare that meal, and nothing in the fridge? Wise man, go out to dinner, or go shopping. Yeah. Today's reading marks a point at which We're going to see the whole household of Israel leaves the promised land and goes off to Egypt. And they went to Egypt because the harvest had failed. There wasn't any food in the cupboard. There wasn't any food in the supermarket. The restaurants were closed down. The nearest food was hundreds of miles away in Egypt. And the harvest hadn't just failed for 1 year, it had failed for 2 years on the trot. So they were mighty hungry. And when we celebrate harvest like we do today and rejoice in all the good things that we know will be on our tables in this coming year, it's right for us also to remember those who don't have that kind of provision, those for whom the harvest is insufficient to meet their needs, or those who don't have the money to go out to buy off the shelves of Asda or Morrison or Waitrose or fill in the blank. It's only fitting, therefore, that once again this year our harvest gifts are going to Leatherhead Start charity in Leatherhead, believe it or not. A charity for the homeless, helping them find their feet again. The harvest had failed in Israel, but it had also in the Promised Land, but it had also failed in Egypt. But through Pharaoh's dreams and Joseph's interpretations, the Egyptians had set food aside over 7 years of abundant harvest, abundant provision. They'd set food aside to keep them through 7 more years of failed harvests. Joseph and his 11 brothers go off to Egypt to buy food, not realizing that Joseph, whom some 12 or more years earlier they'd sold into slavery, remember the bit of kind of where they'd thrown him in the pit and taken his multicolored coat and had goat's blood on it and taken it to Jacob and said, look, we found this, your son must be dead, and they'd sold him to Ishmaelite slaves, slave traders. That was about 12 years prior to this. And now Joseph's brothers come to Egypt to buy food, not realizing that Joseph was now Pharaoh's right-hand man, in charge of all of Egypt, in charge of food distribution. When someone mistreats you, how do you feel about it? You feel bad, yeah. Anybody feel worse than bad?
Sad.
Sad. Bitter. Vindictive. Bitter, vindictive. Getting a bit closer to our kind of what's really going on. Come on then.
Yeah, very angry.
Very angry. Yeah, of course we do. Joseph had had 12 years to stew on what his brothers had done to him. 2 of those years, at least, he had spent in prison, all because of what his brothers had done to him. 12 years to plan his revenge. Listen to what he says once more. Listen to what he says when he meets them again. Don't be distressed. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers, not his brothers speaking to him. Don't be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there's been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be not ploughing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to save your lives. They tried to kill Joseph, but he said, God sent me here to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. What an amazing perspective to have on such painful memories of being hurt. Yes, you'd have thought he would have been full of wanting vengeance. But instead, he saw that God was working out the bigger picture. That when things don't work out for us, God is still working his purposes out. God is fitting his jigsaw together. And the people of Israel would spend the next 400 years in Egypt as a result of this one action, selling Joseph as a slave. During that time, their numbers are going to swell from 70 to over a million. By the next time they set their feet in the Promised Land, they would have learnt what it's like to be aliens and strangers in someone else's homeland. They'd have learnt what it is to be outnumbered, living amongst a people who are different from them, who have different values, who serve different gods. They would have learned how to pass on the story, how to pass on God's story from one generation to the next. How to keep the faith alive. And so the pattern would be set for God's people for all time. For the Old Testament nation of Israel, but also for the New Testament church, and therefore for us. God's people are always called to bear his image in the world, to be a people who are aliens and strangers in the world, living amongst people who serve different gods, who have different values, always charged with passing on the story of God. That's your calling. But you're not on your own. You're part of God's people. You're part of the church. Together, we're called to show the world what God's like. To reveal his image by living together in the power of his Spirit. As God's people, though, we need to get used to things not always working out as we have planned. But trusting that God is still working out his purposes. That he's fitting together his big jigsaw of purposes for our lives. Let's pray together and then we're going to sing.